Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
Let's go.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the three-hour Deflector Shield Shindig. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Dallas to D.C., Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with a Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. How's everyone doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate you being part of the DA. Every single morning, 9 until noon Eastern time, 6 until 9 Pacific. We roll like this, and today's a really good show. We've got Tracy Wolfson from the NFL on CBS. She has been an NFL sideline reporter for the last 5 years. Before that, though, spent a decade doing the SEC on CBS. We'll talk to Tracy about both coming up here in about an hour from now. Also, it's the weekly installment of Super Dave. Dave Friedman brings you your college football picks. He is 13-11 on the season, the maven of minutia. And all season long, we've gone back and forth about what is on the line in the picks competition between Meraz and Super Dave, Super Dave and Meraz. I have finally brokered a deal because this is what I do. I won't sleep until we find solutions and that everything on the DA show is buttoned up. My name is on this. This is my reputation at stake. And I, like a hostage crisis, have come to a deal on both sides. I went into Camp David, came out with an accord. And I will announce it coming up here this hour. What is on the line between Meraz and Super Dave in the football picks competition? Also, this morning on the show, is Kyrie about to put the Nets on his back this season? An amazing season opener last night in a loss. Is angry Ned Flanders going to get more revenge tonight on a Thursday night football platform? Is Carson Wentz haunted by the Super Bowl he did not win as a starter a couple of years ago? And so much more. All coming up this morning on the DA. As always, you can hit us up on the phones, any of those topics or anything else. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. You can hit us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. But we begin in the World Series where, who saw this coming? The Houston Astros were the heaviest favorites in World Series history in more than a decade. They were favored more than any other team coming into a World Series since the 2007 World Series. That was the dominant Red Sox against the Cinderella Colorado Rockies. That series was 4-0 Red Sox, so Vegas knew what was happening there. In this case, not so much. Those massive underdogs have taken a commanding 2-0 series lead and done it in Houston. The last 11 teams that took a 2-0 series lead have all won the World Series. Could you imagine this machine of death, the Houston Astros?
You are a machine of death.
Not only falling to the wild card, previous choke artist Nats in the World Series, but also going whimpering into the night. I mean, the Astros unraveled last night. This 107 win engine, this previous World Series champion, this team that just outlasted a very good Yankee squad, just unraveled last night. Wild pitches, botched throws and fielding errors, shut down by the pitching of the Nats. It was meltdown city. And the Nationals have now three chances at home to win two games to clinch the World Series. I don't think we're going back to Houston. I think the Astros are in mortal trouble. Are the Astros on the verge of a historic choke? It's where we begin. Your cold open.
Swinging a long drive, left field, he's got one now. Kurt Suzuki gives the Nationals the lead. That one above the Crawford boxes. Kurt Suzuki's first career postseason home run, and the Nationals lead the Astros 3-2 here in the seventh inning.
We know the series isn't over. I think it would have been a success if we only came in and stole one game, obviously. Obviously, steal two games from them at their home field is great, but we still have a job to finish, and we have two more to go.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Dave Jagler on Nats Radio, and that was Anthony Rendon after a 12-3 butt whooping by the Nats. The Nationals broke open a 2-2 game in the top of the seventh with six runs, rapped out 14 hits. And the Nationals are now two steps away from winning a World Series. And the thing that I'm seeing here is that the pressure was put squarely on the Astros after game number one. And the Astros aren't handling the pressure well at all. I think they're all squeezing. I think they're all trying to do too much. I think they all know what's at stake because they were the huge favorites coming into the series. I think most people were telling them that the ALCS was the de facto World Series, like I said. And I think the Nationals, playing with house money, playing completely loose, and most importantly, having those two incredibly frustrating arms for the Astros lineup to lead games one and games two, are in the heads of the Astros. I think it's in their heads because, look, you start pressing because naturally it's the World Series. You start pressing because naturally you're down one game to none. You start pressing because naturally you're at home and you can't afford to lose both. But more than that, you've got to press by battling Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg and try to figure them out. And that's the problem. You know how you relieve pressure is one big hit. One big hit will do it. And try getting that one big hit or one big inning or crooked number on the scoreboard against arms like Strasburg and Scherzer. It is a fool's errand to try to do it against those two guys. Strasburg last night goes six innings of two-run baseball, seven strikeouts, and one walk. 7-1, and the only runs he gave up were in the first inning. And this is what has happened in games one and games two. The Astros score two in the first, and they get shut out the rest of the way. And you can feel with every at bat and every inning, the walls closing in, which is what makes October baseball so beautiful, so amazing. It's what makes this so dramatic. But I don't think we're going back. I don't. I think the Nationals are taking two of the next three. And I think that they are going to complete one of the craziest upsets in World Series history. I think the Nationals right now are playing so loose and so confidently, but more so, the Astros are shrinking. They're melting. And I don't think that change is going to D.C. Look, on Friday night, tomorrow, game number three is an absolute must win. And it's not that this has never happened. The 96 Yankees lost both at home to start out, won the next four. The 86 Mets lost both at home, won in seven. The 85 Royals lost both at home, won in seven. It can be done. But talk about trying to do this against this starting pitching rotation, because you're going to see Strasburg again. And you're going to see Scherzer again, depending on how long this thing goes. I can't believe I'm saying it. I can't believe it. But these two first games remind me so much of one World Series that I remember and one NBA Finals that I remember. The 0-3 World Series. The Yankees coming off that dramatic ALCS, the Aaron Bleepin' Boone game in the 0-3, and then getting buzzsawed by the starting pitching of a young, plucky Marlins team that was a wild card entrant and had nothing to lose. And remember, had all of those young arms, namely Josh Beckett, that mowed him down. And the 0-4 NBA Finals, where nobody gave the Detroit Pistons a chance, because the Lakers had won all those World Series, because the Lakers had Shaq and Kobe, and the better team with the better chemistry that played better together and had no ego, the Pistons were able to systematically dismantle and take the belief, take the confidence, take the swagger out of the Lakers, and it was Pistons in 5 and 04. It was Marlins in 6 and 03. And I don't think we're going back to Houston. I can't believe I'm saying it. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz, you feel distinctly differently. You think this is still the Astros series.
Yeah, and it's taking nothing away from the Nationals. And I know that sounds crazy the way you just set it up, that it's still the Astros series. The Astros are too good. They were the best team in baseball. The fact that we think they could just go down with a whimper in four or five games to Washington, I just don't see it. This was a rough two games for them, but I think the Nationals are feeling themselves a little bit. I think they're going to be a little cocky, a little arrogant, maybe a little pressed to make sure they bring this home and get it done at home. I think, call me crazy, I think Zach Greinke gets the job done in Game 3.
I mean, think about that. You're hanging your season on Zach Greinke on the road.
Right, on the road. But I also think low-key moment to look out for, Greinke knows how to hit, is a good hitter. I think Greinke actually gives him a little boost at offense when they've been getting nothing out of the DH spot.
You think Greinke giving him a little bit of offense?
I do. Greinke's a bat. I think Greinke will give him a little offense in Game 3. And then come Game 4, everybody's all in love with Anibal Sanchez. I think the bullpen game gets it done for the Astros. I think we're looking at a 2-2 series.
Sanchez nearly threw a no-hitter in this postseason.
The Astros are too good and too dangerous. They just came off that series versus the Yankees. Take a day off. Get a little breather. This series is not lost. Three teams, as I've mentioned, came back from 2-0 down, losing the
as
first two.
I mentioned.
That's right, as you've mentioned.
Yeah.
I was talking about the topic list, which okay. I inserted them. Okay. I think Houston gets a little juicier. I actually think the Astros are going to run off the next four in a row and win the series in six.
So you think this is 96 Yankees all over again?
I do. I think this is like the 96 Yankees series.
They ain't winning all four straight. They're not winning all four straight. This is amazing. See, I see what you think, that the Astros are too good, but
after all that, they're going to lose in 4-5?
Well, last night was an eye-opener for me, because I thought they were going to come out and dominate Game 2. I thought, you know, they had Verlander on the hill. They're at home. They've got the pressure after Game 1. They know they got to get Game 2. And they melted down. I mean, this is a great Astros team that was kicking the ball all over the lot.
Yeah, their bullpen finally imploded. But that's
imploded.
That's the other part of this. The Nats, I know Doolittle's throwing good. Their bullpen is put together by Band-Aids,
agree.
Too.
I agree.
Fernando Rodney's going to get every big out in this series.
I
refuse to believe that.
I agree.
And ultimately, this is not going to be Strasburg and Scherzer. It's still Corbin and obviously Sanchez, who I know how good they've pitched, are a step below. Astros are going to find a way to right this ship, and this series is coming back to Houston.
Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. We'll take your thoughts on the World Series now. A shocking 2-0 series lead by the Nats, team of destiny. But when we come back, it was opening night for Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn, and boy, did he put on a show. Can he do this season without KD? We'll discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Brand new PGP is out, everybody. Permission granted podcast, the show about the show within the show. So check it out on iTunes or on radio.com or anywhere else that you get the DA Show's podcast. You can find the PGP. This week, we discuss Mraz's overly emotional eating binges over the last 6 weeks and Muffingate. Starring a name from the past.
My baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
It's all this week on the PGP. And now we're toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way. You could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Mike is in Ohio, listening to 96.7 to CBS Sports Radio. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, just woke up, but I'm doing great. Hey, I just had to call in because I agree with you, D.A., but the series is done. We're not going back to Houston. I just don't understand, and I heard a couple other people, because I have no life. I'm blind. I can't go nowhere, so all I have is sports. That's all I do pretty much all day.
Yeah.
Between TV and radio. You know, and it's funny, you mentioned the 04 Lakers. I'm a Laker fan. And, you know, when you had Malone and Peyton and Kobe and Shaq, you know, and everybody thought that team wasn't going to do any good. I wasn't one of those people. When they played in the Western Conference semifinals and finals, but I know the finals for sure. I'm drawing a blank on who he played then, but you could see cracks in that system. And the same with Houston in the Yankee series. And believe me, I'm not a Yankees fan by any stretch, but Gerrit Cole in game three, I mean, he bent, but he didn't break, but that wasn't a Gerrit Cole. That wasn't a dominant Gerrit Cole that nobody could touch, you know? And I think that with the Washington team here, it's just right now at this time, in this point of the year, I don't think there's a team that's currently constructed this past season that would beat the Nationals right now anywhere.
Yeah, the Nationals right now are on such an amazing roll, and it's a little bizarre to think of them as the little engine that could, because they have such amazing star power. I mean, Anthony Rendon had a National League MVP caliber season. Juan Soto is one of the best young players of the game, if not the best young player in the game, and will soon be the best player in the game, probably. You have Strasburg and Scherzer. I mean, those are four absolute superstar caliber guys. At the very best of what they do. So the idea that they're not the Astros is a little misplaced. The Astros have the World Series championship. The Astros have Verlander and Cole, and the Astros have the 107 wins. But if you just went side by side, and I found this interesting because ESPN.com did an interesting profile the other day before the World Series began on the top 50 players in the World Series. Out of the first eight, it was 4-4. Out of the first eight players, if you had to draft just out of these two rosters, you have as much top and high end talent on the Nats as you do on the Astros. So that's why it's a little weird to have come into this and say, oh, there's kind of no chance for the Nationals. Now, to be fair, look, I'm not going to go back on what I said. I thought Astros in six, but I did think that the Nationals were better than people gave them credit for. And look, Verlander got lit up by the Yankees in the ALCS, and last night couldn't hold it together when it mattered. Now, granted, it was a lot of the bullpen as well, but it wasn't like we hadn't seen him get beat in the postseason. So there is, yes, some cracks right now in the Astros that are all opening up at the same time. And I think there is an element to where the Astros could actually benefit from going on the road. I do believe in that concept. I think when you have a lot of pressure as the favorite and you don't play well at home, you hear it from the fans, you look at your building, you hear it on the radio, you read it in the newspaper, you click on your phone, you're around a city that demands more than you go on the road, and I think some of that gets taken away. So it's possible the Astros actually benefit. The problem is, it's not that they haven't, it would be different if last night they lost in a 4-3 game. Got demolished. They melted down. Matthew's next up, South Carolina, listening to 100.3. Good morning, Matt.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I gotta chime in against your coworker across the table there.
Yeah.
Reality is, this is not just about, Nationals going forward and feeling themselves. Maybe it's the Astros feeling themselves. Hey, we got a couple World Series. We're not going to let these guys come into our house and make us look bad. It's much more than that. I've watched out of the whole season, I missed 12 games. And I can tell you, this turned around when Parra came on the scene, because what he did was he got the old guys to play with the young guys. And what is happening? Throw the stats out the window. Throw it out the window. This is old guys showing the league that they can still play with Kendrick, Zimmerman, Parra, Cabrera. These guys were written off. They got tossed from team to team. But then you got up and coming with Soto and Robles. These guys, they've come together and they're playing yard ball. They're playing for fun. That's what they're doing. And that's what the Magic is about, why they're still in this fight. Now, I'm a DC fan. I'm still holding my breath because I've got a long tenure of DC teams imploding in the last second. But the reality is, this is about them having fun while they're playing.
I would agree with that. The way that they're playing, they enjoy each other so much. I mean, you saw last night at the dugout, the celebrations after the home runs. I mean, those guys absolutely love playing together. Now, winning will do that. Winning makes everybody love one another a little bit more. But I would agree. I don't feel like the Nationals are overconfident and will lose sight of the mission. I feel, if anything, not that the Astros are overconfident, but that the Astros are rattled confidence-wise and have to be searching for themselves what has gone so wrong. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Last night, Barclays Center, the opener for the Brooklyn Nets, and Kyrie put on a show.
Now LeVert finds Irving off the screen, straight on three. Is off to the left, no good. Rebounded by Prince. Out to Irving, left side three. It's good! 48 for Kyrie Irving. 122 to 121. Nets still trail by one with 2:15 to go in overtime. Nets down one. The ball and the game in the hands of Kyrie Irving in his Nets debut. Crossed over. He fell down, gets it back, shoots the top of the key jumper. It's no good, and the buzzer sounds, and Minnesota wins.
The job wasn't done, so that 50 just goes into just another few numbers that, it holds value, but not really when you don't get a win. So you want to come out and play the game just with a rhythm.
Chris Carino on Nets Radio. That was Kyrie after a 50-point outburst in game number one, but missing what would have been the game winner at the end of overtime. The good news is Kyrie was sublime last night. I mean, his array of shots, his ability to get his shot off from all parts of the floor. He hits a dagger three-pointer that looked like it could be the winner. He was consistently just finding his spots, and nobody could guard him. And everybody was watching what Kyrie was going to do next as a great player in a big moment. And you knew that he desperately wants to seize back what he probably thinks he lost last year with the Celtics, and maybe for the 2 years in Boston, and that is his stature around the NBA. And I think Kyrie has quite the ego. I think Kyrie thinks Kyrie is really smart, and Kyrie thinks Kyrie is really good. And Kyrie didn't like that Kyrie got a lot of criticism last year because the Celtics weren't very good, and it kind of fell on his shoulders, and he heard it all. And I think that this year,
without Kevin Durant there is going to be a Kyrie Irving redemption season where he seizes, in his mind, his rightful place in the hierarchy of the NBA. Hey, I'm great, and I'm going to prove it. I think this is a man on a mission type season. And I think last night was the first of many incredible moments this season. That's the good news. The bad news is there was a lot of ISO ball last night. There was a lot of just get out of the way and let Kyrie do something and stand around and watch him. Maybe partially being mesmerized by him, but that's not going to work very well. And the Nets have been better than the sum of their parts over the last couple of years under Kenny Atkinson because they play the ultimate team ball. They did not wait to see what somebody would do. It was play the best version, the best brand of basketball that you can. Be smart, find open guys, set picks, do the little things, you know, set up your teammates, no ego, everybody's in this thing together. And it helped launch D'Angelo Russell into the next version of his career. It has helped make guys like LeVert and others become better than they should have been. They found them in crevices and cracks. And if you just let Kyrie dribble down the shot clock and then wait for him to hoist up a prayer, he might hit it, but that doesn't mean you're a good basketball team. And maybe last night was just simply, wow, Kyrie's really great. But the Nets can't bog themselves down into watching Kyrie play hero ball every night or else they lose everything of what they were. But it was an amazing opener for Kyrie, and he's going to have an amazing season. 855-212-4CBS, Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Super Dave and his college football picks, and I have finally brokered a deal of what is on the line, and I think you guys will be very happy with this bet on the line. Mraz has not been informed of it yet, but I will inform Mraz of this and Super Dave on this when we have Super Dave on the phone coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
Good morning. Enjoy your show immensely. I mean that sincerely, D.A. I don't know what age bracket you're in, your 50s, maybe early 50s.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, that's a little off, but I appreciate the sentiment anyway. Welcome back, D.A. with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder that we are with you wherever you are. You can listen to all 3 hours no matter where you are because we're on Sirius XM, channel 206. If we're not on all 3 hours on your local radio affiliate, that's okay because we're also on your phone. Pick up your phone. Pop on radio.com. That's free. You can listen to us anywhere at any time on radio.com for free. Also using Apple Music. It's streaming there as well. The CBS Sports app. You can get sports scores, stories, breaking news, like Joe Girardi becoming the next manager of the Phillies this morning. And, oh, by the way, just punch up the DA show for free. Or you can watch us at watchda.com. Now, this year, we had to have a bet, which we always do, between Mraz and whoever picks the college football games. And we have employed Super Dave Friedman, the voice of Winthrop Eagles basketball, friend of mine, who knows a ton about college football, the maven of minutia. And it's been a great segment. And we're neck and neck right now. Super Dave is 13-11 on the season. 13-11. He has picked three more games than Mraz. Mraz is 13-8 in the NFL. Now, eventually, we'll have equal number of games picked, but the college football season begins a week earlier than the NFL season. So we'll have an equal number of games picked when it's all said and done, but right now they're neck and neck. Both have 13 wins. Mraz has three games in the bag. So I'm trying to figure out what we can put on the line, and I think I figured it out. And I appreciate this because I've reached out to Super Dave, and Super Dave has agreed to the terms. And for Mraz, I'm going to announce what is on the line right now. Now, here's the great thing about Mraz. As he said yesterday, he has been willing to do anything to make sure that the bet gets done.
I have agreed. Basically, I'd walk around this office naked if I lost. I've agreed to any bet under the sun.
Any bet under the sun. So, A couple of years ago, it was the bird seed bet where Mraz had to wear nothing but a Speedo. We waxed him up with Crisco, rolled him in bird seed, and made him sit in Central Park to get eaten by birds. This is what I love, that Mraz has agreed to do anything for the good of the show.
I'm basically ready to put two honeycombs stuck to my ass and walk down to Central Park again just to make sure a bet's taken care of, and you're telling me I have no details? Are you serious?
Now, that is an image, but I do not want to make Mraz get naked again. I don't want him to be naked around the office. I don't want him to stick two honeycombs to his ass. I don't want to make him do those things.
Thank you.
I want him fully clothed for this bet. But again, Mraz has agreed that he is willing to go to the end of the earth to make sure this bet gets done.
I am going as far as to say I'm willing to do a PTI with that fat slob, Robbie Rosenhaus.
Now, that's for the Vikings bet. I'm not going to bring that into this bet, okay? But this is what I love about Mraz. He's willing to put his picks on the line. So for Dave Friedman, Super Dave, I thought this would be pretty cool. If Super Dave loses the picks, he must use our catchphrases on the show in a broadcast. That he has to use our drops in the middle of a college basketball broadcast. And I would like to hear what it sounds like when Smith, up for three, and...
You are a machine of death.
Or the Eagles lead by 10 as we go to timeout.
I'll drop dead. I will drop dead without those burritos.
I'd like to hear the drops happen during Winthrop basketball broadcast. And then, of course, we could play those here on the show and have them forever. So I think that's a fair bet. Would you say, Mraz, that would be a good side of the bet?
I think that would be very entertaining for the show, correct. But I am very much holding my breath here because I don't call college basketball games, so I don't know what's coming on my end.
So on your end, I don't know how this came up yesterday, but Andrew Bogish informed me that when you were going through high school and then ultimately went to community college, you never took a standardized test, an SAT, an ACT, or any standardized test.
Why would I waste my Saturday morning?
They didn't need it. And then when you went from community college to your final destination,
lost my records, can't find them.
State University of New York, SUNY Old Westbury. You also did not have to take an SAT or an ACT.
No, that's the old loophole. You don't need SATs, folks. Remember that. Don't let your parents tell you different.
And so I think it would be time, since we challenge your knowledge constantly, I think it would be time for you to finally take the SAT.
Wait, I'm done taking tests in my life. That's why I'm not in college anymore.
And I think if you lose the bet, then during the show one day, we can have a different producer, but you'll take the standardized test in here at the desk, kind of like Cake Cam. You will, kind of like Wing Cam, you will take the SAT while we are on the air, and then we will see how you grade after the show.
I graduated high school 15 years ago. What do you think I'm going to do on this test? I don't know anything.
Well, this is what I would like to see because, you know, we've been talking about how...
I got to study so I don't embarrass myself?
No. You don't have to study. We would just like to see what a standardized test reflects of your current knowledge.
Oh. Okay.
I think that's a great idea.
Look, I'm a man of my word.
Okay.
I'm not going to worry about it because my picks are going to win anyway because Dave sucks lately, so that's it.
You have a 3-game lead.
I do. In the loss.
Okay. So
same amount of wins. Okay. All right. Look, I'm a man of my word. Do I have to do number 2 pencil? Is that how it works?
I don't know if we'll have a Scantron.
We should do the whole thing.
But we'll do the whole thing, and we'll grade it out, and we'll see if you need a pencil or a pen or whatnot. But during the show one day, you can take it. It's probably longer than 3 hours, so maybe you could take it during...
Longer than 3 hours? How long was this SAT?
We'll find a mock SAT online, and maybe we'll find the 3-hour version.
Oh, I didn't even know it was that long. I thought an hour tops.
Yeah, maybe it's an hour. But we'll have you do it during the show if you lose the picks.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, Bilotti, do you think that's a fair bet?
I think that's very fair. the number two pencil and a Proctor. We got to give him a Proctor, too.
Yeah, Proctor. All right, so the bet is on. Let's bring in Super Dave for his college football picks.
It's a spread. It's a line. It's Super Dave.
All I know is if you're betting our games, you're sitting on enough money to retire. BYU, they're okay. Brent Gabbert, that's Blaine's brother.
With your weekly college football picks.
Our picks are on fire. I'm more concerned taking over for a guy named Huge. This is just an unbelievable coaching mismatch.
Thank you, Super Dave.
All right, so Super Dave joins us this morning on the show. He's 13-11 on the season. He went 1-2 last week. Good morning, Super Dave. Do you agree to the terms of the bet?
I agree to the terms of the bet, DA, but I'm just so surprised that Mraz hasn't taken a standardized test. I thought he would have been a National Merit Scholar.
Shockingly, no. Mraz has never taken an SAT, and so if he loses this bet, the pressure is on you to make sure you beat him so that we actually have to see what he would score on a standardized test, okay? So you're ready for the pressure?
I'm ready. I must say, though, Mraz has been very impressive with his picks. I suspect he might be better at picking NFL games against the spread than he would be at a standardized test.
Yeah, you're suspecting correctly. So let's start in the Pac-12. USC is in Boulder, Colorado. The Trojans are favored by 13 points. And in this game, at least there are other things to do in Boulder. You like the Trojans.
I like the Trojans because Colorado is a dumpster fire. I mean, this is a program that has given up 41-10 losses, 45-3 losses, and a 35-30 loss at home against a bad Arizona team over the last 3 weeks. They've had three players quit their team in the last couple of weeks, and their total defense is 124th in the country this year, allowing 482 yards a game. Veteran quarterback Steven Montez, last two games, no touchdowns, six interceptions. And USC's really good at throwing the ball. They're completing 71% of their passes. Their offense is pretty strong. Colorado's defense is really bad. Colorado has never beaten USC. It's a 13-0 all-time record. Every game since 2000 combined, average margin of victory is 19 points a game. I like USC.
The marijuana laws in Colorado made exactly for this purpose, because this thing could get ugly. Let's stay in the Pac-12. Cal and Utah. How about the Utes favored by 3 touchdowns in the game that is, quote, Utah actually playing like Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, the spread would indicate that Utah is the number one team in the country. And Utah's really good. Kyle Whittingham is excellent. They have the fourth best defense in the country. But here are the scores of Cal's games this year. The number of points Cal has given up: 13 against UC Davis, 19 against Washington, 17 against North Texas, 20 against Ole Miss, 24 against Arizona State, 17 against Oregon, and 21 against Oregon State. They're one of the best defenses in the country. They give up under 19 points a game. Now they're getting 21. Cal's top two quarterbacks are out of this game. They are not going to score a lot of points. But Justin Wilcox's program is based on defense. They have only 2 losses of more than 21 points in his 32 games at the helm. I just think the spread's too high.
All right. And then finally, it's a big one. You were thinking Liberty at Rutgers. I mean, the Scarlet Knights +7. But instead, there's another big one on the docket, North Texas at Charlotte. And North Texas is favored by 4 points in the, at least it's not Liberty at Rutgers game.
Well, Rutgers is paying Liberty $1 million to come play, and Liberty's a touchdown favorite. I thought about the Scarlet Knights, but I just couldn't go there. North Texas has created 63 plays of 15 yards or more this year. Meanwhile, the Charlotte defense constantly gives up big plays. The 49ers are 128th in the country in scoring defense. They only have 2 wins against an FCS team and against UMass, who by the Sagarin rankings are the worst team in the country. Meanwhile, North Texas, they're not having a great year. They're 3-4, 2-1 in league play, but they have wins over UTSA, win over Middle Tennessee State. They played a good game against Cal. Their coach has taken them to a bowl game in each of the last 2 years. I just think they're better, and the spread here is not overwhelming.
Those are the Super Dave picks. North Texas laying 4, Cal plus 21, and USC laying 13. Thanks, Super Dave.
Thank you, DA.
It's a bird. It's a plane.
Super Dave.
And remember that Super Dave is the host of the Bearded Carcast. As Super Dave, Dave Friedman, is the voice of the Winthrop Eagles. You can listen to his podcast on a weekly basis, where not only do they go around the world of sports, but also discuss their travels around the conference and traveling for Winthrop basketball. That's available all places that podcasts are available, the Bearded Carcast. Looks like we have a winner here on the bet. Senor Pantleg tweets, "Oh my God, I've never rooted harder against Mraz in any bet until now. This is bigger than releasing taxes. He must release his SAT scores." Mike tweets, "The look Mraz just gave DA when he suggested standardized tests, priceless. Hashtag, where does the salt go?" Headley tweets, "So if Mraz loses this bet, he's actually going to lose twice? Perfect! Indeed, if Super Dave beats him, in the college football versus NFL picks, Mraz is forced to take the SAT with us in studio, proctoring him, and we will release the SAT scores to the world. If Super Dave loses, he is forced to utilize our drops in his play-by-play calls of Winthrop basketball. When we come back, we'll talk NFL and SEC with CBS sideline reporter Tracy Wolfson, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Where does the song go?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.